Well, I have to begin by failing to use the wrong opening prayer. And lest anything worse would happen, could we just entrust all of this to Our Lady? If we could just pray for each other for a moment and ask for her prayers for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It can be so painful to try so hard and fail so badly. The nice thing about failing, though, is you can kind of get it out of the way. Our beloved Father Jacques, who was here on many occasions and loved it here, when he got cancer, said, you know, the best thing about having cancer is you don't have to be afraid of getting cancer. So a little bit like that with failure, I suppose. The best thing about failure is you don't have to be afraid of failing anymore. Just get it out of the way. St. John teaches us so beautifully in this first reading. He reminds us, he invites us to go back to the beginning. Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you. What did you hear from the beginning? It's the same St. John that wrote this letter that also recorded the words that he heard from Jesus in the book of Revelation. This I hold against you, that you have lost the love that you had at first. Our first love, what we heard from the beginning, to let that remain in us. I know for the sisters and for myself, there's something that brought us to religious life. There's a word that we heard, there's an encounter that we had, that in some ways the years can cause to fade a little bit. Although if we allow that word that we heard from the beginning to abide in us, it has a way of growing. And I know it's like that for married couples as well, because we love to ask, how did you meet? Tell us about when you first fell in love. How did it happen? And there are as many stories as there are marriages. It's amazing the variety of ways that people meet and fall in love and take steps forward and begin to grow a family. And so many things happen as the family grows that it can be that those first days can fade a little bit from our memories, but it's good for us to go back to them, to remember the word that we heard from the beginning, to allow it to abide in us, to allow that first love to abide in us. So St. John invites us to do that. In the Mass today, in this Christmas season, Christmas has a way of doing that. Somehow every Christmas gets piled into this Christmas. All of the good and the bad, the disappointments and the discoveries, the joys and the sorrows, all of it has a way of getting all lumped together. But we can allow that to have a living presence in our hearts. Allow it to abide in us. That word abide is so important for St. John in his gospel and in his letters. Something that really remains, that finds a home in us. We abide in an abode. There's a home. And our hearts have the capacity to be a home for the word that we heard. And it's beautiful that we have this paired together with the gospel. If I had been choosing, I might have chosen tomorrow's gospel or the next one, because that was the word that John himself, John the Apostle, heard from the beginning. When he heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God," that was the word that John the Apostle heard from the beginning, "Behold the Lamb of God." And that word did abide in him. It emerges numerous times in his gospel as he really understands Jesus as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, the Father's love given to us, that expresses all of the love of the Father, that he spares nothing, that he might take away the sins of the world. And as Roman Catholics especially, we have a fixation with that same word as we repeat it three times in every Mass. four times, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us." The Lamb of God is our fixation as well, as we allow that love of the Father who gives his only begotten Son, who spares nothing, so that he can take away our sins, so that he can wipe away our failures, those failures like I had at the beginning of Mass, or so many failures that we have, wounding in relationships, failures against God and our sins. God spares nothing to take away those failures because he wants that word of love to abide in us and to be the guiding force for our lives. And then St. John speaks about the anointing. The anointing that you received from him abides in you, remains in you. His anointing teaches you about everything and is true, not false. And that anointing is the very relationship of the Father and the Son. We can always do these wonderful things with our Trinitarian theology. The Father is the one who anoints, the anointer, and the Son is the anointed one, the Christ, and the anointing is the Holy Spirit. The Father is the lover, and the Son is the beloved, and the Holy Spirit is the love. And it's nothing less than his own relationship, the Father's love for the Son, the Father's anointing on the Son. It's nothing less than that that he places in us. That's the anointing. That's the relationship. That's what we had from the beginning. That's what God drew us into. And we might say that the word all of us have heard from the beginning was baptism. I baptize you into the name, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God gives us his own love, his own relationship, his own anointing, so that we can be called Christians. It's what St. Basil and St. Gregory said in the Office of Readings this morning. If you were here that early or you pray it on your own, that's the great name that we aspire to be called Christians, to be called anointed ones, to allow that anointing to live in us and to grow in us. That anointing is our relationship with God, the relationship of the Father and the Son, a love that is beyond our imagination. And it begins in us as a little seed in baptism, as a little word spoken to us in baptism. And if we nourish it, if we care for it, if we keep coming back to that Lamb of God, if we keep receiving him in Holy Communion, if we keep meditating on that word that we heard from the beginning, it has a way of continuing to grow. There are other weeds that try to choke it out, but the word is stronger. The anointing is stronger. So as we come before the Lord in the Eucharist today, let us ask him to renew that love that we had from the beginning, to renew that word that we received from the beginning, to renew that anointing that we received in baptism, to make it grow and make it truly the center and the strongest force in our life. To know that it's all real, this faith of ours, this Eucharist, this love that God has given us, it's all real. The liar says it isn't, but the truth, Jesus Christ, confirms that it is. It's all real.